Blog Talk Radio.
Coming of your great day may be foretold.
and change hearts and change thoughts. Protect us this night. Bless us and help us again and again as you have promised. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, let's get into some praise and worship music. Let's just start this off. Here we go.
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. And in the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. When the solid ground is falling out from underneath my feet, between the black skies and my red eyes, I can barely see. When I realize I've been sold out by my friends and my family, I can feel the rain reminding me. In the eye of the storm, thank you. falling in love with you all over again. There is no one who redeems like you. Falling in love with you all over again. You're the shepherd who will see me through. You see my pain through the eyes of redemption. And the sorrow that was mine, you took away. And you gave me the oil of gladness instead. And now I'm praising your name always, always.
Thank you. go. No wonder that I struggle and feel like I'll never grow. I struggle seeing clear when I'm looking at my state. I'm troubled being here and wonder if I'll ever change. I know I'm being saved. I get that it's a process. I know that your perfection that he's gave us saving knowledge. But as I face my progress, it seems like it's really slow. It makes me question what I think I actually really know. I hate for setting sins on how they taught me from the darkness. It makes me doubt if God will actually finish what he started. And that's a heinous sin. I know he'll bear us up. Even though it's hard to see his hand, I'll trust his character. Cause he won't neglect his own. He said he'll cherish us. He's working on our hearts in ways we're not aware he does. So I can be encouraged. He's fighting for my sin. And God has promised by his might to make me more like him. My only need to trust him and impress him on to see him. And keep believing cause
you gotta keep your eyes on him. You gotta keep your eyes on him. You gotta keep your eyes on him. We gotta keep our eyes on him. You gotta keep your eyes on him. You gotta keep your eyes on him. We gotta keep our eyes on him.
Bless the broken church. Your God and Savior is producing in you readiness to bring you straight to him. So though we're wounded and afflicted with annoying sores, our Lord permits it so our souls are then enjoying more. Sin makes a bumpy path. We're on a rugged ride. We're just the words of sin. It's great for Christ to come to die. Even though we're cracked and frayed and have our ugly sides, remember in those moments Christ to make a lovely bride. It's well in sin is in the very skin we live in. So let's forgive each other just as we have been forgiven. So let's be patient and believe he's gonna make us whole. The grind until he comes.
You gotta keep your eyes on him. You gotta keep your eyes on him. You gotta keep your eyes on him. We all, yeah, yeah. We all, yeah. We all, we gotta keep our eyes on him. You gotta keep your eyes on him. You gotta keep your eyes on him. We all, yeah, yeah. We all, yeah. We all, we gotta keep our eyes on him.
For everyone who calls. Thank you.
enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Let's get into the message. Amen? Okay. The message is titled, The Characteristics of a Worthy Walk. And it's taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Let's start out with an opening prayer for the service. Lord God, Almighty and Holy One, whose glory shines upon the earth, so that we may find joy in you and may live rejoicing in all your loving kindness. Spread out your hands in a blessing over all people, Lord. Spread your blessing over the happy and the sad, over the courageous and the weak. Shepherd them in your love and the great grace you have given through Jesus Christ, confirmed in us through the Holy Spirit. Lord, do not let us remain degraded and worthless, Lord. Lift our hearts above what is transitory, Lord, for you have given us something eternal to live by, Lord. Help us every day so that we can reach the goal you have set for us, for many others, and finally all for all peoples of the earth. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you see, I love the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 1 through 3, Paul talks about the wealth of Christians. In chapters 4 and 5, he talks about the walk of a Christian. And in chapter 6, he talks about the warfare of a Christian. Now, Paul is talking to the church in Ephesians, and he urges them to walk by the Spirit. He tells us in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the light of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:8, he tells us to walk as children of light. In Ephesians 5:2, he tells us to walk in love. I know your theme at this time is growing together, so this evening I want us to think about growing together and walking together as people of God. According to the medical authorities, walking is one of the most profitable forms of physical exercise. It stimulates the heart and lungs, strengthens the bones and muscles, increases the blood flow throughout the body, and reportedly contributes to the loss of excess weight. Did you know that the average pair of feet takes 7,000 to 8,000 steps a day, about 2.5 million steps a year? It makes you tired, doesn't it? That means that in a lifetime, you will walk approximately 115,000 miles. The first man to walk around the world was a man by the name of David Kunst of Waseca, Minnesota. He completed a historic walk on October 5th, 1974, after walking 15,000 miles. The trip required 4.5 years, during which time David went through 22 pairs of shoes and wore out 2 mules. David was accompanied by his brother John, but during the event, John was shot and killed by bandits in Afghanistan. David was shot in the chest during the same attack, but survived by playing dead. After spending 4 months recovering from his injuries, Davey resumed his journey along with Pete, his other brother. They started from the spot where John was killed but completed their historic journey. Most people find it neither appealing nor practical to be a David Kunst and accept the challenge of the hike around the world. However, God wants us to understand that the Christian life is a walk and a journey which requires dedication, courage, and persistence. It calls for self-surrender, a fully yielded life, and an intense desire to please God rather than ourselves. Then as we think about the call to the worthy walk, look at the word walk. The word is frequently used in the New Testament to refer to daily conduct, day-by-day living. It's really the theme of the last 3 chapters of Ephesians. In these chapters, Paul will tell us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. He will tell us to walk in unity. He will tell us to walk in love. To walk as children of light and to walk circumspectly in this world. So here we see the call to the worthy walk. Paul implores and entreats, begs the Ephesians to understand that their calling is a high calling. It's a heavenly calling. It's a holy calling. It is a calling to balance the scale so that there is an equal weight in their doctrine and practice. It is a calling which involves a daily, consistent, moment-by-moment walk that is worthy. I don't have time to cover all of the attributes or characteristics of a worthy walk, but the first characteristic is integrity. Paul says we are to walk worthily. The Greek word there is worthily means weighty. Have you heard the phrase, he can carry his weight? It means that he can fulfill his responsibility, he is trustworthy. Then we sometimes say, his or her comments carry a lot of weight. That means that person has influence because of his or her integrity. So let's think about the word integrity. If you go all the way over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, this is, I say, therefore, testify to the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. So you need to understand how Paul describes the Gentiles in verse 18. He describes them as having mental darkness or having their understanding darkened. And then in that same verse, he describes them as being in moral deadness. He says they are alienated from the life of God. Then in verse 29, he describes them as being physical depravity. He says, who is being past feeling have given themselves over to the lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness? So the Bible says we are not to walk as other Gentiles walk, but our walk is to be a walk of integrity. So let me tell you something, church. The thing that is going to impress is not the preaching of Gerald Harris on a Sunday morning or evening. It's going to be the way you walk on Monday morning. Okay? You see, talk is cheap. We are not talking about talk. We are talking about walk. We are to walk as Jesus walked. And when there is a generation of people, when there's a church full of people who are holy in conduct, this whole area is going to look around and say, Jesus Christ is real. Amen. That is right. You know what Gandhi said? The spiritual leader of millions of people in India said, I would have been a Christian if it were not for the lives of Christians I saw. You think about that. Here was a man who had such a profound influence upon literally hundreds and millions of lives, and he said, I would have been a Christian were it not for the lives of Christians that I saw. May I say to you that the greatest argument for Christianity and the greatest argument against Christianity is the life of a Christian. The thing that will put the lie to what I'm saying quicker than anything else is for us not to walk as Jesus Christ walked. The thing is that we put the yeah and the amen in the truth and the seal of God upon what I'm saying quicker than anything else. It's for the members of the church to walk in integrity. The second characteristic of a worthy walk is humility. Look at the first verse. Paul says that we are to walk worthy. Look at verse 2 of our text. Paul says, walk worthy of vocation, wherewith you are called with all lowliness or humility. The opposite of humility is pride. Adrian Rogers said, pride divides society. There has never been an argument, a war, a divorce, nor a church split that pride was not the major factor. Do you know why humility is so important? Because the Bible says pride goeth before a fall. Let us do a spelling lesson. Let us notice that I is the right in the middle of some bad things in life. First spell sin with me, S-I-N. Now spell pride with me, P-R-I-D-E. Now about anxiety, A-N-X-I-E-T-Y. Here is the best one. Spell Satan's original name with me is Lucifer. Spell that with me, L-U-C-I-F-E-R. For almost 16 years, I've been preaching in churches across the Southeast, and you would be amazed how many churches are in trouble. There are doctrinal issues over Reformed theology. There are worship wars over what kind of music is best for the church. There are political wars over how the church is going to be governed. But let me tell you that there is no problems too big to solve in a church. There are just people too small to solve them. And any time you have contention in a church, it's because there is pride. Because the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Every now and then there are people in our churches who want to play God. Here is a fellow whose wife beats up on him all the time. And his boss won't let him have his way at work. But when he comes to church committee meetings or a business meeting, he's somebody. When he stands up, he loves the sound of his own voice. And he talks and talks and talks. He is not led of the Holy Spirit, but filled with pride. He wants his own way. The church is trying to decide which night to have a certain meeting, and they say, let us take a vote. And this fellow, rather than praying and finding the will of the Lord, says, well, now Tuesday night would be best for me because I vote on Thursday night, and I vote for Tuesday night. I've got rights. So, dear friend, when you got saved, you lost all your rights. Did you know that? You do not have any more rights. What right does a dead man have? Because you have been crucified with Christ, so we must pray, Lord, what is best for your church? That is what I want to do. We need to learn that a Baptist church is not a democracy. It is a theocracy. God is to run it. We are to pray and together to find the will of God and the way of God and bow our heads and humble our hearts and listen. So many of us, when we pray, say, listen, Lord, your servant speaks. We must learn to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. But too many churches are rent with asunder with pride. We should learn from John the Baptist, who pointed to Jesus and said, he must increase and I must decrease. Winston Churchill had the right idea. He was once asked, does it thrill you to know that every time you make a speech, the hall is packed to overflowing? It's quite flattering, replied Sir Winston, but whenever I feel that way, I always remember that instead of making a political speech, I was being hanged. The crowd would be twice as big. J. Vernon McGee says, lowliness is the flagship of all Christian virtues. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul says, let nothing be done through the strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So lowliness characterizes our Lord, he said. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am weak and lowly in heart. There are too many Christians today who have a pride of race, a pride of place, a pride of face, and even a pride of grace. They're even proud that they have been saved by grace. How we need to walk in humility and lowliness of mind. Notice in verse 2, Paul speaks of forbearing for one another in love. So the third characteristic of a worthy walk is love or charity. In verse 2, Paul talks about forbearing love or forbearing with one another in love. Forbearing love takes abuse from others while continuing to love them. There are three words for love in the Greek New Testament. There is eros, which is self-love. It cares for others only because of what it can get from them. There is philia, which is a reciprocal love, kind of love that gives as long as it receives. Then there is agape love, an unselfish love that is willing to give whether it receives it or not. So forbearance is a quality of love or charity which Christians should possess who live with unconverted loved ones. If you ever hope to exercise influence over an unconverted husband or a relative, you must know something about possessing of the kind of love that forbears. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul says that we are to be followers of God and walk in love. Now, make no mistake about it, God is love. It has accurately been said that love does not define God, but God defines love. And let me say this. If you're here this evening and you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, the greatest motivation that I can give you for being a Christian is simply to tell you that God loves you. He cares about you. In fact, the Bible says, but God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible also says, and it is the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance. So, now you often hear about the wrath of God and the judgment of God. We have often said that God is a God to be feared, and so he is. But the Bible also tells us that even in his wrath, he remembers mercy. So let me just give you an illustration of that. It speaks of God's forbearance and love. Do you remember over in the book of 1 Chronicles where David numbered the children of Israel? By numbering the children of Israel, David disobeyed the Lord God. So God sent the prophet God to David to pronounce judgment upon him. This is what God said to David. You must choose between three judgments. 7 years of famine, or to flee before your enemies as they pursue you for 3 months or 3 days of pestilence in the land. Upon hearing that, David bowed down before the Lord and said, let us not fall into the hands of men. Let us fall in the hands of God, for he is merciful and kind. I choose 3 days of pestilence. Now, the wonder of that story is that when pestilence swept the land and the destroying angel came over Jerusalem, David saw him with his sword roaring over the city. And David fell upon his face before the Lord of judgment and pled for mercy in behalf of his people. The Bible says that the Lord caused the angel to put the sword back in his sheath and stayed in the plague in the answer to David's prayer. You see, God is kind and tenderhearted and forgiving, and even in wrath, he remembers mercy. We are to be like that. So often, we are so hard and so unyielding and unforgiving. We need to learn to walk in forbearing love. Lewis Talbot tells about a faithful Christian woman that he met at his brother's church in St. Louis, Missouri. For 18 years, this woman had to put up with the demands of her husband, who was a drunk. She had to put up with his demands without retaliation. One evening, he came home in a fit of a temper because he had fallen in the mud. While under the influence of liquor, when he entered the house, he removed his shoes and in an ugly manner threw them before his wife and commanded her to polish them. She went down to the basement and polished the shoes as unto the Lord. She returned them to him so well shined that he could almost see his face in them. His heart was broken. He saw in those shining shoes the face of the Lord. For years, his wife had been living an example. She had been walked worthy of her high calling. This at last act of hers, giving evidence of forbearance and meekness, was used by God not only to show his sinfulness to him, but also to manifest the glory of Christ in the life of his wife. Immediately, he was led to accept her Christ and became a holy, happy saint transformed by the Christ he had seen living in the life of his wife. Now, regardless of how aggravating circumstances may be, the indwelling Christ can and will strengthen us, enable us to walk in a holy manner and forbear others in charity or love. If you forbear others in love or charity, you will have their interests at your heart. You will be so much concerned to show that you are right and that they are wrong, you will be anxious that they should be right as well as yourself. The fourth characteristic of a worthy walk is activity. Now, I want us to go back to the word calling or vocation in verse 1. We have been called to a vocation. The dictionary says that a vocation is a strong inclination to a particular state or course of action. It is a job, a work, an employment. We have been talking about the characteristics of this worthy walk, and they are integrity, humility, charity, unity. And while we think about vocation, let me add activity. God did not save us to be indolent and lazy. We have to work to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul said, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But there are so many church members who are sitting on the sidelines and doing little or nothing. I heard about the stockbroker who appeared before the pearly gates and sought admission at St. Peter and said, who are you? The Wall Street broker said, I am John Frameson. St. Peter said, what is it that entitles you to admission? Well, for one thing, the other day I saw a homeless, lame woman on Broadway, and I handed her a nickel. St. Peter turned to the angel Gabriel and said, is that in the records? And Gabriel said, yes, St. Peter, I have it here in the records. So St. Peter turned to his Wall Street financier and said, what else have you done? He said, well, the other night I was crossing the Brooklyn Bridge, and I ran into a half-frozen newsboy, and I gave him a nickel. St. Peter turned to Gabriel and said, now, is that in the records? Yes, St. Peter. Now, what else have you done? Well, that's all I could think of. St. Peter turned to Gabriel and said, now, what do you think we ought to do with this guy, Gabriel? Gabriel said, give him back his dime and tell him where he can go. I have a beautiful print of one of Larry Dyke's beautiful paintings. He is a Christian artist from Houston, Texas. It's a painting of an old barn inside a corral. The animals are inside the barn. The firewood is cut and stacked in place. The sun is setting, and it's apparent that the work for the day is over. Larry Dykes always puts in the text of a Bible verse in the lower left hand of his paintings. And the verse for this painting is John chapter 9, verse 4, which says, I must work with the works of him that sent me, while in this day the night cometh when no man can work. The fifth characteristic of a worthy walk is unity. This is the final point of the sermons, and the truth and integrity, humility, charity, and activity should all work together to produce unity. In verse 3 of our text, Paul talks about keeping unity, the spirit, in the bond of peace. One preacher saw another preacher at a Southern Baptist convention and said, and he said, not seen him in a long time, and he said, Where are you pastoring now? The preacher said, well, I'm in East Tennessee. The old friend said, how many members do you have? He said, well, I've got about 300 members. The friend said, are all of them active? He said, yes, as a matter of fact, they're all active. The friend said, that is wonderful. I do not believe I have ever heard of a church where all the people were active and working. The pastor said, well, it's not that wonderful because 175 are working for me and the other 125 are working against us. As we have already said, churches can be divided by conflict and strife, and they can often get ugly. Someone said the church is a lot like Noah's Ark. If it were not for the storm on the outside, we could not stand the stench on the inside. But can you imagine what life would be like without the church? Most of us would not want to consider such a possibility. Yet despite mostly warm feelings toward church, Christians are increasingly treating the church with disdain. Okay, they consider membership optional. Their attendance is sporadic. Their giving is minimal. Their view of ministry is burdensome. They believe sin is permissible. You see, that is what happens in a lot of churches. But we are to walk together in unity. We are to walk in fellowship with one another. In Romans chapter 12, verse 16, the Bible says, be of the same mind and one toward another. Truth alone must determine our alignments. Truth comes before unity. Unity without truth is hazardous. In our Lord's Prayer in John 17, he prays, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Only those sanctified through the word can be one in Christ. To teach otherwise is to betray the gospel. So Jesus prayed, Father, I ask that they may be one even as we are one. Okay, John 17, verse 22. And unity is a wonderful thing, but unity at all costs is simple and tragic. Vance Havner, a revivalist of another generation, said, a lot of folks are like the herd of swine into whom Jesus cast a legion of devils in Mark chapter 5. I can just imagine those swine conversing with one another as they were running down the hill towards the sea in which they were drowned. And one said to another, where are we going? And another one said, what difference does it make as long as we are together? Southern Baptists must forever guard against alliances that would cause us to dilute and compromise our convictions. Adrian Rogers once said, no homogenization of bad eggs will make a good omelet. When your religious says whatever our doctrinal issues regards Jesus as just another wise teacher, refuses on principles to evangelize and let you do pretty much what you want to do, it is a short step to deciding that one of the things that you don't want to do is to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. John Wesley said, I went to the whole Christ for my Savior, the whole Bible for my book, the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. If we had that mentality, we could conquer this city and this county and region for Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 3, the word spirit has a capital S. And the Holy Spirit, indeed, it's the Holy Spirit who brings about unity. Someone has said that all kinds of methods have been employed to get the saints together. Some have been wrested together with tradition. Others have been frozen together with formalism. Some have been wired together with organization. But we will never really get together until we are melted together by the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that the Spirit of God has baptized us into one body. You see, Jesus Christ is a stack pole of life. The closer you get to him and the closer I get to him, the closer we get to each other. The communion, this fellowship, this unity becomes the consequences of a worthy walk. Your theme is growing together, so make a commitment to walk in unity. Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Father in heaven, may we recognize and acknowledge that you are God. You have made us and not we ourselves to be your people and the sheep of your pasture. Baptize us with the truth we need throughout our lives, Lord. Give us the gift to discern who we are and what we should become, Lord. Free our eyes from all deception so we can no longer delude ourselves with short-lived earthly things, Lord. Clear our eyes to see what is eternal in and around us, Lord. Make us children, true children, who awake to exult and rejoice in what childlike and who gives thanks to you, O God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, now it is time to ask. If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior, you can do so in a moment. Well, let me ask you. Are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road of never knowing where to go or which way is up or down? Or maybe you lack purpose in life and you need some. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something so much worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, okay, you overeating, gambling. Whatever the problem may be, okay, it doesn't matter. If God does not know you, he cannot do nothing for you. So if you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, and I am so sorry for my sins. And the life that I have lived, I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I am now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts, that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now, I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. According to his word, right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you that, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. So I want to say thank you once more, Jesus, for dying for me, and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. Amen. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. If you said this prayer, okay, please give us your name so we can pray for you. And if you just said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord. We want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, if you said this prayer, okay, we would like you to call in to area code 657-383-1487. Okay, once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, and you will let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because right now, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels, and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So won't you let us rejoice with them? Amen. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay? Don't be shy, folks. Call that number, area code 657-383-1487. And let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to play some more music here. All right.
Stay up with me, don't fall asleep. headed south on the inbound train, I'm fine. like a mess and I'm tired of this fight. I'm burnt out, barely feeling alive. I wanna pray, I wanna talk to you. I wanna say that I love you too. But this fight is tough and I'm under pressure. Trial by fire, and this is my confession that I'm not fine. But I wish I was. If it were up to me, I'd always have enough. And it's rough, but I know that I'll be alright. Your love alone will pull me through the night. Don't let me give up, only need the temptation. You forgive us, your love is patient.
When I hit rock bottom, you're the rock on which I stand. When the storm rages on, you will lead me to dry land.
This is the cloud that I've been given.
Right. Well, let's get into the prophetic word for today. The Father says today, meditate on my word day and night. Meditate on and ruminate on my promises, my commands and my truth, and these things will surely become manifest in your life. May word in your heart and in your mind will go before you in the way, prospering you, enlarging the place of your inhabitation, and increasing you with the increase of God. Abandon yourself to what I am doing on the inside of you. Give yourself over to my word and allow it to take deep root in you and cause you to sink deep roots into the deep aquifers of my spirit to refresh, cleanse, and empower you. My word is the dipper that you let down, not into a natural resource or an outward dependency, but into the spring of living water I place on the inside of you by my spirit. There is no contradiction between the word and the spirit. The word and the spirit are one in the heavens. Let the word and the spirit become one on the inside of you. This day I welcome you into the as in heaven, so on earth reality. I am populating your life with my goodness. I am filling you to overflowing with my blessing and my favor. Okay? This kingdom reality, I have shown you what you will walk in. Where I put a window, I provide a door. I do not give the image of a thing without the substance of the thing being promised in your life. I do not taunt or tease. I will not show you the overcoming life of promise. You such things with opening to you the access that makes it a reality. There is no impediment. There is no obstacle that can impede you inwardly or outwardly. So rise up, take up your bed and walk. Go and sin no more. Sin shall not have the dominion over you any more than I can be tempted to sin. You are not a sin creature. You are a righteous creature. You are the righteous of God in Christ. You are what all creation has been waiting and groaning to be made manifest in the earth. This is a song of redeemed. This is a fullness that filleth in all. Are you prepared? Are you ready? My word prepares you. My spirit prepares you, and I say to you this day, come. And in the coming will manifest that which you have cried out for your entire life. The Father says today, all striving ceases in your life today. You do not have to wait for some outward situation to change in order to have rest. I am directing you and leading you to the still waters that will quiet you in the midst of the chaos your outward life looks like right now. Say to your eyes, see, and to your ears, hear the word of the Lord. Peace is not something you can contrive by arranging all affairs of life in such a way that problems cannot reach you. Just be still and know. Be still when people all around you are losing their heads and crying for rocks of the mountains to fall upon them. You are not of the earth. Earthly, you are heaven's heavenly. When the shaking comes, it will only shake those things that can be shaken in your life. The things which cannot be shaken might remain. Embrace the shaking. Just climb up on my lap and rest your head, my shoulder. I have this. You are going to be okay. Fear not. Just keep trusting. Keep abiding in the vine that I am in you. Will come out of the other side, and things will be the one left standing because you trusted in me. This day of radical trust, let not your trust be in how much money you have in the bank or whether your revenues are secure. Your security is in me. You are not bound to the fortunes of the economy of man. The dividends of the kingdom are yours to enjoy. Sing to the life, spring of ages, I have placed within you. Sing and spring up, O well, and you will see the seed of the travail of your soul and be refreshed. Rest yourself away from the ravages of the worry and anxiety. Determine to be anxious for nothing. Fear is not your portion. Fear is the faith killer, and your faith is strong. You are well able to maintain your trust in me when the strongest of men are casting about a panic for a false solution. refuse the false promises of men and their manipulations. You are sealed in heavenly places in Christ. You are hidden in an invisible kingdom that natural man knows not of. Welcome to the secret place of the secret place of the Most High, where the Spirit realizes all but the flesh profits nothing. You can now be your faith manifest the substance, and the manifesting the substance, nothing will be left lacking, and in nothing will you come short of in any way. Amen, says the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Well, we have a few more minutes left. Okay, I'm going to play another song, and then we'll end with a prayer.
And there was a time not long ago when the sun did shine, and the sower sowed, and the rain did rain, and the crops did grow. It was a time before machinery, a time before certainty, a time before we bought the lie, a time before the farmer died, and we had trusting hearts and ignorant souls. It was a time not very long. Thank you.
Alrighty. Well, like I said, we have a couple minutes left, so let us end this in a prayer. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we look to Jesus Christ, who is at your right hand, through whom you have promised to help for the whole world. Unite us with him so that we may receive authority to help all people according to your will. May your name be kept holy among us, for your children have every reason to rejoice in the Savior you have given them. We thank you for everything that you have shown to those who believe in you. We pray to you, hasten the time when your day shall come with glory, the day when you will give the glory of Jesus Christ, when he will reign and triumph over all evil and bring peace you have always wanted to give to the world. We wait and long for this, and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, well, God bless you all, okay, who are listening, okay. May you have a blessed night. Thank you, Doug, for calling in and being a faithful listener, okay. It's much appreciated, okay. May you have a blessed night, and go in peace. With much love for everyone, amen. Have a nice night. Goodbye.